listeners, and welcome to What Time Is The Race, a Formula One podcast, part of the Eurotrips podcast network. I am Ryan, and I'm your host for the next 24 episodes coming this year. One for every single race, you lucky, lucky people. And fuck me dead, we don't half have a lot to go through in the world of Formula One at the moment. But before all of that, this week for episode one, I'm joined by Matthew and Reese as we review the incredibly exciting, exhilarating spectacle that was the Bahrain Grand Prix. We look ahead to the, of course, unpredictable Saudi Grand Prix this weekend, plus a few small topics like Christian Horner's completely normal WhatsApp messages, the Max Verstappen to Mercedes rumour that has just come out of the blue, the FIA boss Mohammed Ben Salman being under investigation for fixing races, and Jos Verstappen continuing to be a Class A wanker. But before all of that, let's hear from our guests. How are we, gentlemen?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah, very good. Looking forward to getting our teeth into these topics. It's all lots of fun and games, and we're only one race in. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
That's Matthew, by the way. This is Reese.
Absolute carnage. Bonjour. So I've never watched an F1 race apart from this one. So this is a new perspective for me. I'm completely out of the blue. This is my first F1 race I've ever watched. The Bahrain. The rest of them, I pick up information through every other grapevine, except for watching it.
That's intriguing.
Well, there you go.
You know, you probably could not have a worse Grand Prix to watch as your first one from start to finish.
I was going to say,
bloody
I was
miserable. It was so boring.
Oh, it was terrific.
I think I had it on while I was working. I looked down at the start, watched that for a bit, and then it got to about four laps in when I looked down again. I think Max was something like 5 seconds ahead or something ridiculous.
My favourite part of the whole Grand Prix was that the FIA introduced the first lap DRS, open or second lap, should I say, DRS, being used now instead of, I can't remember what it was now. Was it lap three or lap four before? Was that three, wasn't it? They reduced it so then people could keep up with Max Verstappen, and then Max Verstappen put 1.2 seconds between him and Charles Leclerc literally on the first lap, and that was it. So he literally just basically one or two, both his middle fingers up to the FIA and gone, do what you want, I'm still going to win.
Pretty much. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the life of an F1 fan throughout the winter is, as we start to get into January and February, the anticipation builds and builds, and we all have that hope that maybe Mercedes have actually built a competent car this year. Perhaps Ferrari might sort themselves out for the first time in 20-odd years and actually have a car worthy of winning races.
I agree. It's just Ferrari for some reason just cannot get their tyre deck down to a normal standard. Their rear tyres just seem to like eating tarmac, and they've got the pace. The car's actually, you know, for one lap, they're very close. And Charles actually set the fastest quali lap in Q2. He could have beaten Max to pole, but they just can't. You know, the tyre deck is crap. Their brakes didn't work for Charles, and you know, but I mean, it's just typical Ferrari, isn't it? They Ferrari are just the biggest laugh. You know, the biggest laugh. You know, that we all laugh at them because they're just always average in a great car. It's like Man City spending all that money and then literally playing Barnet in League One. Like, you know, how does it even happen? How do the Italians make it so bad? I don't understand.
It's an interesting one, because even when you take those out of the equation, you then think, well, maybe the likes of McLaren or Aston Martin, who have, you know, some of the best in the paddock, especially Aston Martin, who have stolen a lot of very good engineers and personnel from the likes of Red Bull and other teams over the last two seasons, and yet they have not improved whatsoever as well. And the anticipation literally all went by about 3:10 on Saturday, when Verstappen already had a 5-second lead after about four or five laps. And then it's to be an F1 fan at the moment and to watch those races, you either have to support either maybe a McLaren or a Mercedes, or just support a certain driver, because you know you're not going to be watching for race wins anymore because Verstappen.
Yeah, I agree. It's becoming just the Verstappen show. But you compare him to Perez in the same car, you've got to give him credit. He's doing an unbelievable job. And we're just saying, you know, how frustrating and annoying is, you know, after we're talking about this actually on my podcast, saying that, you know, how annoying, frustrating and boring the races are, but you can't help but admire how good a driver he is. I know it's a dominant car, but Perez never gets that far ahead, and he's, you know, ending the race on 22 seconds. You know, he added another 10 seconds from his lead in race one last season. Yeah, and they've changed the whole concept of the car as well. The whole concept is taking it from the Mercedes. W14. They took inspiration from that, and they've made it work. Adrian Newey has literally stuck his fingers up to Mercedes and gone, "I can make it work, and you can't."
Yeah, it's exactly that, and you know, a lot of Verstappen and Red Bull fans love to point out how the fact, you know, Lewis dominated for so many years and whatnot. But I always say, at least when Lewis was winning those championships, for some of those seasons, he had Rosberg up against him. Rosberg obviously got the better of him for one of those seasons.
Yep.
And pushed him very close in most of them. And
Vettel.
Vettel with Ferrari, yep. You know, obviously Bottas is nowhere near, you know, the elite drivers. Bottas and Perez are, could all, you know, pretty much be clones, to be honest, because they're both drivers. I'm not going to upset things. They're just there to do a job. They're happy with it. They don't, not to say they don't care about winning. You know, they want to win.
Yeah, course,
but they know they're up against, you know, unbelievable, like, drivers that, you know, don't just come out of the blue, you know. So it's one of those ones, but we're seeing domination at the moment. I don't even think we saw, really, even when Lewis was winning races.
We haven't seen domination like this since Schumacher 04, really. Even Sebastian Vettel 2013 were the last two times I think we've had even close to a dominating season of domination compared to last season. But even last season still eclipsed both of them. It was something that I say we're never going to see again. It looks like we're going to see it again. But the only saving grace is that Bahrain is a track that, you know, lots of the top running cars have said, well, Toto's come out and said it, Fred Vasseur said it, that Bahrain is not their best track and they've got a lot more performance to extract. I think Mercedes, they had complete engine balls up the whole race. You know, Mercedes have been poor the last 2 years. But the one thing you can say is their engine reliability has been second to none. They've had hardly any DNFs the last couple of years. You know, their engine has been the best on the grid, really, since the turbo hybrid era started. And that's the only thing that kept Lewis in his position last season. And basically made Mercedes get P2 in the constructors last season was basically on their engine reliability and the car's reliability. But first race in the season to have cooling problems, and Lewis had battery problems for the first 9 laps, cooling problems for George, you know, lift and coast the whole way round for both of them as well. And there's a couple of other Mercedes customer cars also having on their dashboard was lighting up saying overheating. I think it was on
Albon,
the Williams and Williams. Yeah, that's it. Albon, who was having that flash up on his screen. So not a great start for them. And it wasn't even a warm evening. It was only 18 degrees in Bahrain that night. You know, it wasn't even a hot evening. And Saudi's going to be warmer. But Toto has come out and said that they've sorted the problem already, and they hope to be more competitive. But, you know, up until that point, Mercedes looked a lot better. Or whether they're going to catch up to Red Bull is another story. But, you know, at this point, we just hope for anyone to just get at least within a tenth or two of Verstappen. That would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, for you, Rhys, obviously, it was your first, you know, race that you fully. First of all, did you struggle, like myself and so many other fans, I imagine, to not only stay awake during the race, even the commentators who were struggling to come up with things to say, how on earth did you manage it, and how have you decided to come on this podcast to even talk about it.
I mean, it's the case of, I mean, I know enough about F1 to know Max Verstappen is just a different breed. So I wasn't expecting there to be much competition. Even, I mean, Red Bull were evil geniuses. Max Verstappen, they've got the winning formula pretty much set in stone. I didn't think there was going to be much competition even going into it for first. But I am, for some, because I'm based like maybe an hour away from McLaren's base, I think it's in Woking, I think. But I do, it's like supporting a local team, basically. So I'm a bit of a McLaren fanboy, even if I've watched one race. And
I join you in that.
And my cousin went to school with Lando Norris as well, so I've got I'm quite close with my cousin. I got a bit of a ballpark on Lando, so I'm a bit of a fanboy of him as well. So I kept myself entertained by the small hope that the time was going down between, who was it? It was between Lando and, I'm trying to remember who was in front of him. And then it went up again, and then it got miserable, and then it went down again. But it
was. Was it Charles? Was it Charles Leclerc? Was it? Or was it? No, it might have been.
I think it was it, Ferrari, because it wasn't Sainz. He was just in a different.
Russell.
It could have been one of the two. But,
could have been Georgia. Yeah, it would have been Georgia.
What I will say is, even if Red Bull leaps ahead, but I think the competition for second in the constructors is the tightest it's been in a few years. Because obviously picking up bits and pieces there. I know Aston were good at the start there, but then everyone else had problems. It's like McLaren were awful. Ferrari's engines kept exploding or something.
The trouble is, we're in a situation here where we're talking obviously about the fight for second and whatnot, and of course it's always entertaining. But when you look at it in from a different perspective in a different sport, say you looked at it from football and you looked at it in the Premier League, no one ever gives a fuck, do they, about who finishes second and the battle for second?
Yeah,
you always want a title fight, and
of course.
Fact that we've not had one now for a fair number of seasons, and we're not going to have one again this season. We're probably not going to have one again next season until the engine regulations change. And we're at a point now where qualifying is almost more now exciting than the actual race. There's a little bit more jeopardy on the line when it comes to qualify in terms of, you know, who gets knocked out.
But I mean, do you think that as the season goes on, the only saving grace is obviously last season, it was getting tighter and tighter to Max with the other, you know, with McLaren were probably the closest in the second half of the season. Do you think that, what is it? Is it Singapore? Is it the fourth race? What's the fourth race of the season? Is it Singapore or is it Suzuka? I haven't got the map up. Do you want to? It's what?
I think it is Suzuka.
Suzuka. Well, there's planned upgrades for Suzuka from a lot of teams. I think literally nearly every team on the grid, I think only Bar Haas are bringing upgrades to Suzuka, and big upgrades as well from their learnings of testing. So do any of you think that based on that and based on the fact that, okay, yes, Max is far ahead, but all the other teams have got a much better platform to work from, do you think they can even somewhat close the gap on the race pace to Max?
I mean, that is a saving grace at the moment. The fact that it can't get any worse. It can't win
exactly
by any further of a margin. So, of course, that is one good thing to look out for. And with something that we're going to talk about in a moment, with the potential implosion that could be unraveling at the moment within the Red Bull team, that's something else that could swing things this season very much.
Hopefully.
So we'll talk about that in a minute, but 100%, there's definitely optimism to be had. You know, we're one race into a 24 race season, so you never know how much a Mercedes or a Ferrari or an Aston or a McLaren could, you know, massively improve their car. So
We almost need a quantum leap jump like McLaren last season at Austria. That is literally what we need from one of those teams, like a quantum leap jump that somehow manages to bring 3 or 4 tenths to their car. That is what we need to make it even somewhat competitive.
Yeah, Pretty much. I mean, we spoke a little bit briefly there about the potential implosion at Red Bull. And for those who may not be aware of the situation, I don't know anyone who's not aware of the situation currently.
Who's been living under a rock?
Currently going on with Christian Horner. Even people who don't watch F1 each week will have seen his name in the news over the last couple of weeks, and it's for good reason because, as we all know at the minute, Christian Horner was under investigation by his own team, Red Bull, who then got in a third party to basically look at it all properly and make sure everything was okay for him to still remain in his job. It then all got leaked into the press. I believe it started in the Netherlands. It was rumoured that Jos Verstappen leaked it to the media there because Jos Verstappen and Christian Horner do not get on. There's a lot of bickering at the moment, from what we read in the media anyway, between, you know, the Verstappens and between Christian Horner and between Christian Horner and Helmut Marko. It almost seems as like nobody likes Christian Horner in that Red Bull team. And I can fully get behind that because I do not like the bloke either. However, this all stems, as we now know, because he was, in fact, cleared by this investigation, I believe, on the Wednesday. And then on the Thursday, this Google Drive was released, basically, by somebody, a whistleblower, to a handful of journalists. It then appeared on most social media, so anyone could read it. I have gone through it as well, where you can read...
I've gone through it as well.
Yeah, you can see all the screenshots that of conversations on WhatsApp between Christian Horner and what I believe is his personal assistant, a female employee at Red Bull. And it depends what side of the fence you sit on. Some people look at it and think it's a little bit harmless. Others will go down the route of it's sexual harassment. I do believe it is harassment in terms of how he's been. Obviously, we don't know the exact history between them, but I think the fact that he's been cleared is very disturbing, and the fact that he's managed to keep his job is very, very wrong in my opinion. And I can understand the scrutiny that he's currently under and the immense pressure that he could be under, but he's still in his job, which has not gone down well, because
for now,
Jos Verstappen was actually quoted as saying he needs to leave. You know, basically, the longer he stays in the team, the more problems that are going to come up. And there's rumors that, you know, Jos Verstappen and Christian Horner had a very big row throughout the weekend.
It was actually caught live on TV, live on Italian F1. I think the Italian F1 cameras caught them both arguing.
Yeah, this is what I mean. We can all see it from a distance. And now, after all of this, there is question marks over the futures of, obviously, Max Verstappen, over Christian Horner, Adrian Newey, and Helmut Marko, the four major people, really, at Red Bull. We know that Ferrari have wanted Adrian Newey for a very long time, the man responsible for that car being what it is. Max Verstappen, of course, will be wanted by every team, but I think his most likely destination will now be Mercedes to replace Lewis Hamilton. But this is going to be, I think, a long-term thing. This is not going to be sorted out anytime soon. There's said to have been high-level meetings this week to try and get this resolved for the weekend. That's not going to happen, I don't think, because these things don't just go away. These question marks will be, you know, hanging over Christian Horner and Red Bull every race weekend now until something gives. And ultimately,
of course, and that's also a tactic as well from the other principals. They want to put as much pressure on Red Bull, regardless of how it is, so then it makes their weekends worse. I think also as well, one other thing as well, which is also quite interesting, is Ford, who are going to be giving the engines to Red Bull and the new regulations of 2026. They've come out and said that, you know, that if there is almost sexual harassment and it all comes out as being something more than what the investigation has said, then they said that they only work with other companies that are in line with their beliefs and with their code of conduct, is what they said, which means that if it did come out and it was something worse than what we were even seeing, I mean, those messages might not even be real. You know, we don't know. It could be worse. It could be not as bad, it could be worse. And if it does come out as being something quite dodgy, there is a potential that Ford could pull out of their deal. And that would implode Red Bull even more than they already are, because then they'd be stuck without an engine manufacturer for 2026.
And the thing is as well, I do believe those WhatsApp messages are real, because if they weren't, I think he would have come out straight away and denied that they're real. But the fact that he's not even answering that question, the fact that he's just no comment in it, makes me believe that they are in fact genuine. But the rumors are that there is still a lot more that has not been released to the media that's being investigated into this match. So it could very well be a lot worse than what we all think it is. And I did see the same report about Ford as what Matthew's mentioning there, and the fact that they are looking at ways that they could potentially break that contract. And someone actually commented very funnily the fact that it would only leave Red Bull with Renault as their potential engine supplier. And those who are familiar with Renault and Red Bull,
Renault are the best engines on the grid, mate.
This is that would be rather intriguing. I think that would throw Red Bull's future in F1 into a lot of doubt. But all over
one man has potential, could have the implications of ruining an entire team. It's crazy, really.
You would think after all of this, the man would just, you know, have the bottle just to say, all right, I'm done, you know, and give up his position. He's been there a very, very, very long time, had a lot of success, does not need to stay in that position. But the fact that he is, I think, tells, you know, quite a lot. And
he's trying to ride the storm, isn't he? He's trying to hope that by standing together, by him staying in post, should I say, that it's almost going to blow over and go away. And I do not think this is going to leave. I think even if nothing is, you know, nothing said, I mean, even if the investigation doesn't get redone or no one looks into it again, there'll always be that hanging over Christian Horner's head until he's proved innocent or guilty. You know, there's nothing, but there's been no transparency from Red Bull. They've said that they don't want to release anything and they don't want to be too transparent with the investigation due to the sensitive nature of the content and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, how every company investigates itself, it's not going to incriminate itself. And I know they've got a third-party person coming in to do it. Yeah, okay, but who was paying the third-party person to come and do it? Of course it was Red Bull. You know, there's been no completely independent investigation from a governing body, a government, or any, you know, third party that's not being paid by Red Bull. There's been nothing of the sort. So the investigation for me is absolute bullshit and means nothing, because they're not going to incriminate themselves. You know, they don't want to rock the Apple, you know, the Apple car. They don't want to lose Ford. They don't want to. The amount of implications this has, they'd rather keep Christian Horner in place and let him be thrown to the dogs than go and investigate it correctly. Because they know, I mean, it's almost similar as the post office scandal that came out, you know, about the whole post office thing over the years. You know, you watched a program about it, but the post office scandal over 20, 25 years, you know, they paid the investigations themselves. You know, nothing got done about it because they just dictated what they saw and what they did. And so, look, who knows? But I think it's, you know, Jerry Horner, she's standing in solidarity with Christian. But is that just the way that, because she's scared herself to leave or whatever? Who knows?
I think it's a PR stunt. But the fact is that...
Yeah, a PR stunt.
Two things that were reported in the media. One was that Mohammed Ben Salman, who we'll get onto in a minute, has apparently, according to the BBC, spoken to Max Verstappen anyway, and asked him on two different occasions to publicly support Christian Horner, which is a bit strange as well. And it's something that will not go away. As you said, there's going to be pressure put on F1 as a whole to get this sorted out. And I don't know, it's
one. But then also, but the what's his name again? Mohammed
Ben Salman. He's the president.
Mohammed Ben Salman. Yeah, I recognize his face. I just forget it. But Mohammed Ben Salman, he's also being done for corruption himself. So at the end of the day, it's all just one big pile of shit and corruption and going around in a circle. And it's, look, when there's money, where there's every, you know, money and motion in a big sport, there's always corruption. But I think, you know, the guys, you can't tell Max Verstappen what to do. He's not his boss. You know, he's not, he shouldn't be going in there telling Max what to do. And Max, if I know from what I see from Max over the last 6 or 7 years, I've been watching him race, he just doesn't like getting involved in anything. And he's very much just keeps himself to himself. He doesn't give opinions particularly. He doesn't, you know, doesn't publicly speak, you know, apart from a Formula One Grand Prix, you never really see him or hear from him at all. He's very private. He isn't going to want to get involved in this. He just wants it done as probably as well as everyone else. Unlike his dad, who's very vocal and very outspoken. But he's not going to be interested in it. And I can probably imagine Max told him politely to piss off from that. But Jos is getting himself involved heavily into it, I guess, just to protect Max while Max kind of focuses on racing.
Yeah.
See, this is quite fascinating for me because obviously this has been my first year in F1. I don't know any of the politics going on behind engine suppliers and stuff like that. I saw the whole WhatsApp messages on Twitter, laughed at them, and then thought it was just, I thought it would just blow over, like a bit of everyone making fun of this guy, obviously having no riz is the long and short of it. But knowing there's about 30 different dominoes that are falling from this is...
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's wild to me. It went from, look at this guy not being able to chat up this girl, to the entire of F1 is collapsing and Red Bull are going to burn into dumpster fires, where it sounds like
literally. It is, and that is how, on a knife edge, you know, every Formula One team and Formula One is, as a sport, it's on such a knife edge in so many different ways that one little thing can implode an entire organisation.
And I think one thing we can definitely be assured on as well is, although the last couple of seasons of Drive to Survive have not been particularly entertaining, they're not going to be short of content for this season already.
Oh, no. They've probably run out of memory card space already.
I tell you now, they've got enough for the first 2 or 3 episodes, and we've not even got into the second race of the season. It's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, we've not even spoken on...
As I say, the whole 3 episodes will be just titled Christian Horner 1, 2 and 3.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, we've got deep into this podcast. We've not mentioned the fact that Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari. It's kind of... late news at the moment. It was, you know, reported many weeks ago, but that'll be for part 2 anyway of the podcast, because we're going to have a very quick break right now and we'll get straight back into it very shortly. Right, back to part 2 now. We've gone through quite a lot there and there's still a fair bit to go. So as we mentioned, Mohammed bin Salman, who is the president of the FIA, so basically the big boss kind of in Formula One anyway, and as we kind of touched upon, he is under investigation. Now, again, if you're not fully into F1, you might be asking yourself why, and I can fully understand that. So the long and short of it is he has been investigating for potential race fixing. And it stems from a race last season involving Fernando Alonso, where I believe Alonso was involved in some kind of incident. I haven't.
There was a time penalty. There was a penalty of some sort that he wanted to try and overturn, wasn't there? And I think something. I don't know what happened, but basically, Mohammed then come down to tell the FIA to try. He basically put his 10 pence in to try and overturn a particular a penalty that Alonso got, and was almost kind of wasn't asked. I think he was almost telling them to overturn it, and that's all been leaked, isn't it, with more whistleblowers.
Pretty much. I mean, from what I'm reading, the claim is from this whistleblower who allegedly told officials, like you just said, to overturn a penalty to Fernando Alonso in Saudi Arabia, obviously from last season. Apparently, it's also said that he told the same officials not to certify the Las Vegas circuit for its race last season for some reason or other. Obviously, didn't want that race to go ahead, or you know, that weekend to go ahead. I'm not entirely sure why he didn't want that to happen as well, but it's just Formula One at the moment. But it's, to be fair, it's the history and heritage of Formula One. There's always scandal, and there's always,
yes,
you know,
always scandal.
Exactly, there's always something along the lines, and whether it was a few years ago and what happened in Abu Dhabi, you know, you've got, you know, yeah, we all remember, you know, well, those who watched Formula One back in the day, you know, the whole Spygate incident between, I think it was McLaren and Ferrari. There's all,
yeah, and you've got the Singapore Grand Prix 2008 when Alonso and Renault, when they got told to crash on purpose so Alonso could win the race.
Yeah,
well, and you know, that again, that was a humongous scandal again. That was probably the biggest scandal in F1 history.
Something that Felipe Massa will not give up on, even to this day.
He will still be trying to get that overturned.
Oh, he won't let that go, will he? I mean, I think it shows a lot about, you know, a lot of people, a lot of F1 fans in particular, that are not too fond of Lewis. They always love to point out his flaws and the fact that they feel like he's arrogant and this and that. But I don't feel like many, if any, of the current F1 drivers, never mind ones from the past, would have let go and put up with what happened in Abu Dhabi quite like he has. I think he handled that situation quite well, and I don't think many other drivers would have done the same thing. If it was roles reversed, you can imagine what would have happened from Verstappen and from Red Bull. But yeah, you know, we won't go over ancient history anyway.
Yeah, we'll be here all day.
Exactly. But in terms of what this all means, apparently they were pictured at the weekend. It's all over social media. Toto Wolff meeting with Jos Verstappen.
Yep.
Doesn't look like it's, you know, a major meeting or anything going on. It might just be a conversation. However, this has now stemmed throughout the media this week. It was, again, I think first reported in the Netherlands, maybe, that Verstappen to Mercedes is now, like, legitimately true. It could potentially happen, something that was unfathomable, you know, to most of us, you know, forever, really. It's never looked like he's ever going to leave Red Bull. Why would he? He's in the most dominant car. Yeah. But everything that we've just talked about means that there is a potential situation where that could happen. And of course, Mercedes would love to have him. Why would they not? You know, they're replacing...
George Russell won't be happy to have him.
George Russell would be the one person currently that will not want that to happen, because he's had to compete up against, in my opinion, the greatest driver of all time. And he now might have to go up against one of the best on the grid again. And
he's actually probably had the most difficult teammates in history.
Oh, 100%. You know, and the fact is that he obviously felt, as soon as Lewis announced that he was leaving, that he would now be the face of Mercedes. He would be the main guy, and that the guy coming in alongside him, whether it was Carlos Sainz or Esteban Ocon or Alex Albon or a young rookie from F2, it doesn't matter. He would still be the number one bloke. But
if Max comes in, yeah, he's got Bob Hope and no hope if he wants to be the number one driver, a three-time world champion, probably going to be four-time world champ. Sorry, yeah. Probably will be a four-time world champion this year, coming into Mercedes. But can you imagine if it happened halfway through the season and Max was like stupid amounts of points ahead, and you know, it'll come down and it made it more competitive. It would just be weird. I don't think he's going to leave, though. I'm still not convinced that it's all going to go belly up. That old rumor was really cemented by Gerhard Berger, wasn't it? Helmut Marko's friend and 10-time Formula One winner, Gerhard Berger, was the one that came out and said that, you know, that Newey and Christian's going to leave, Nui's going to leave, blah blah, and Max's going to go to Mercedes. And I actually just before we while we were on the break, I was reading an article saying that Helmut Marko is keeping his keeping his cards very close to his chest and is not commenting on anything. He's staying very quiet and staying very much out of the eye of the media as much as he can. He was just almost saying no comment over and over again. And even upon the comments Gerhard Berger, one of his close friends, had made, he said that he was surprised and no comment. And he's just kind of not wanting to address anything, which is kind of what Red Bull have been doing ever since all this shit show started.
I think as well that it's probably sensible that he doesn't say anything because he's a dinosaur, as we learned last season when it came to his comments about Sergio Perez. And yeah, I personally I do agree. I think it's put more of a almost a threat. I think it's been leaked maybe by Jos Verstappen or someone close to Verstappen's inner circle, and it's almost a threat to set to Red Bull, the fact that obviously, you don't get rid of him, then we will go to Mercedes. And I think, there isn't a bigger threat that they could make right now than that to Red Bull as a whole. And from what I read as well somewhere, can't exactly remember where, but the man in charge of Red Bull, I don't exactly know what his name is. I know his last name, but either way, he was actually appalled by the situation from what I read, and he actually wanted Christian Horner gone. He wanted him to sack him, and then Christian Horner brought his lawyers in, and that's what's stopped it. That's what I've read. I don't know how true that is.
Who is this?
The man in charge of Red Bull as a whole. Obviously, I know
The Austrian side or the Thai side?
I believe it's the Austrian side. You can't imagine the Thai side are obviously too happy with everything going on in this situation, and I don't see it resolving anytime soon. I think this is going to continue to drag on week in, week out. And the fact that you don't, it's not really obviously spoken about on, when any of the build up to the race week, when you're watching it on Sky Sports, for example, I suppose they can't really say anything on there because they know that, they're going to get into some trouble, from lawyers and whatnot. So I can understand why they have to completely steer clear of that situation. But it's almost hard to not talk about that situation right now, for the likes of Brundle and Ted Kravitz and all these other people. It's a strange one, and how this is all going to play out. I think the only way it can play out is with Christian Horner leaving, his position.
That is the easiest option for Red Bull is to go to Christian Horner.
I think it's definitely the most feasible one and one that's most likely going to happen. But again, it's Formula One, just never ever know. In terms of this weekend, obviously we're back in Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
It's a track that I don't mind, don't get me wrong. It's a place that I'm not obviously a fan of. I don't believe they should be racing there. I don't believe anything should be going on there with what's going on in that country, but that's for a different discussion anyway. But in terms of the actual race, it wasn't that many years ago we saw that unreal battle between Hamilton and Verstappen, highlights that I watched this morning, actually, funny enough. And
Breakthrough.
it's gonna be interesting to see what goes on. Obviously, we know that more than likely Verstappen will win the race. However, qualifying could yet be very close because, as we mentioned, well, Matthew mentioned it a little bit earlier, the fact that Mercedes had problems with the cooling and, that wasn't that great in the race, but they showed pace in quali.
George showed race, so quali pace. Sorry, Hamilton was absolutely appalling.
Yeah, I think Lewis did comment on that, didn't he? The fact that they went with two different setups.
Yeah, but then George has come out and said that that didn't happen. They say George said that both the cars were very similar, and he didn't realize he didn't. He, according to him, there was no setup differences
That's a
in the
strange.
cars.
I think
So it's kind of a conflict of interest between both people. One's making an excuse and one's telling the truth, but who's right and who's wrong?
this is it. I think this year you can tell by Lewis's demeanor and his attitude at the moment. He doesn't give a fuck. He's literally,
No, he doesn't care.
you could see he's so chilled And why would he? He knows he's going to be there next season. He doesn't care really. He's done his job. He's done his work. He's done brilliantly for the team more than anyone else could possibly do. So I can understand they didn't listen to him when he wanted changes made to the car, and it's led them down this road, and they are where they are now. But I think we all know that it's most likely going to be Ferrari again that are going to be the closest challenges, especially in quali. And I feel like not some maybe well maybe Carlos, certainly Charles, who is a good qualifier, can put a good lap together.
Yeah.
They surely have a chance of getting pole, considering how close. I mean, I was so annoyed because I actually had a bet on either Ferrari getting pole in Bahrain, and I thought had it. I thought Charles had it, and yeah, obviously he missed out by a couple of attempts in the end. But I do think,
He screwed up the line, didn't he?
yeah, I'm not, I do have optimism that it's gonna be a lot closer. And then there's, stories revolving obviously around Alpine and the fact that they're basically getting rid of all their staff because their car is complete and utter dog shit.
They have more staff turnovers than I've had hot dinners. Honestly, they're just constantly going. It's like an open turnstile, just constantly people walking in and out of the place. Well, it's another thing, but Alpine, yeah. Apparently, the Alpine's 11 kilos overweight as well.
It's
So,
incredible how bad that car is. And
for a work team as well, it's not even for a work team.
yeah, this is it. I mean, it's certainly not going to be a desirable car for F1 24 for any realistic performance leagues. Cough, cough.
Ryan, please do not put me in an Alpine. I'll be happy in my steak F1 team, mate.
I'm sure you would. I mean, yeah, Alpine, they would be.
Reese did say to me earlier, he said he feels so confident about that he's going to win next year's championship that he's volunteered to go in the Alpine, actually.
Oh, man, I'll go in the Abbey. I'll go in the Abbey. I'll show him my game.
Love that. I think we can count the Alpines out this year from that. We didn't even need to speak about them. I feel bad for Gasly and Ocon because I rate them both as drivers. I think they're very, very good. And it's a shame that they're going to be in such a shit car for the rest of the year. But it is what it is. In terms of what the other drivers can do in the likes of Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin, and Ferrari, it will be interesting to see which one of them could maybe spring a surprise this weekend, at
Be
least
nice.
one.
At least give Max a race, for Christ's sake. Like, at least give him something to
You'd think so,
think about.
especially if we get a situation where maybe Ferrari can get a one, P1 and a P3, or Mercedes got a P1 and a P3. Something where they can maybe work together to stop, Max at least getting past
Just
our.
run him off the track. Run him off the track.
Yeah, I mean, I long for the days when you don't know where corner one was at least a bit unpredictable, and we would see more dive bombs and we would see more carnage. We haven't.
Everyone seems to be scared of Max. No one seems to want to dive bomb. Everyone's just scared. Just what have you got to lose?
I mean, we haven't
He's a
seen
scary guy.
we haven't seen this.
Scary guy.
We've not seen any carnage really, or any major big ball attempts from any of the drivers really from since 2021.
Yeah.
Last couple of years, it's almost like they know that they're not going to be able to really stay ahead, so they're just saving their tires almost. And I think, like, why? Like, make a race of it. At least try and fucking entertain the fans, and give us something.
I think the last really entertaining race was Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, 2022, when Charles and Max were trading DRS positions.
Yeah.
That was probably the best closest race we've had since from now. I mean,
Yeah.
obviously from second, third, fourth, and all that. Yeah, of course. But for first place, that was the most entertaining race we've had. Ever since then, it's been Max, 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 Max.
And we mentioned it already. No one wants to watch the race for fucking P2 or P3 or whatever it is, or the midfield battle. Although the midfield battles do often bring up, quality racing, and they are entertaining, especially when there's quite a few of them. We saw a few little battles last season, and they kind of, they made up some races, don't get me wrong, but the majority were like last weekends. Very boring, very unentertaining. Little jeopardy. These cars at the moment seem to be a lot more consistent, which is great for the teams. Don't get me wrong, but we don't see. I mean, the days are gone. It seems where you used to get 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, DNFs, whether it was through crashes or, you know, cars just...
No one DNFs through to engine for engine problems now. I mean, even if there is an engine problem, they just switch off a sensor and it carries on working.
That's what I mean. Or they'll just stroll steadily into the pit lane and then that be it. And, you know, we don't see anything. Obviously, we're not asking for crashes. Don't get me wrong. We're not asking for that kind of thing. But we want at least some kind of spice and excitement.
It's not a crash.
Yeah. And I would never ask for a crash.
We want someone to die on the track. That's what we're wanting. That's what he's saying.
Listen, at the end of the day, no one's going to die in those cars. So a couple of crashes does them good.
Bill's character, is that what you're
saying? Yeah. If Romain Grosjean can walk away from a fireball, right, no one else is going to die, okay?
It's one of those things at the end of the day, and it? Like, we don't know how the season's going to play out. It very much at the moment points to Verstappen dominating like he did last season and the season before that. But again, with everything going on at the moment, it's all up in the air. And that is only a good thing for the fans of the sport anyway, because obviously after 2021, the sport blew up. A little bit how darts has gone at the moment. You know, everyone's talking about it. Everyone's tuning in. We're getting record numbers. Grand Prix were sold out, you know, throughout the entire year. Tickets were just like gold dust to get. Now, it's starting to go back to how it was before that season, where you could pretty much go to any race. I would imagine TV numbers are starting to dwindle down as well. And
this is what F1 don't want. This is what they need to sort of sort out, which they're trying to do, but it's hard. You know, if Red Bull weren't the dominant, it would be a great, great championship. Like if it was literally no Max Verstappen, it'd be a brilliant championship. It'd be a fantastic championship.
This is it, because you can't even just say it's the Red Bull car, really, because Sergio Perez is having to battle week in, week out just to get P2. You know, that,
yeah,
you ain't getting that easily. So, you know, and as much as I dislike Verstappen and wish that he would leave the sport, just like I'm sure, you know, fans of his want the same thing for Lewis, obviously we have to admit that he is, you know, probably the best driver of his generation anyway, you know, not counting Lewis, but he is up there, and he's one of the best drivers of the last, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. He's doing unbelievable things in the car, and he is now very, very consistent. But
ridiculously consistent, like unbelievably, like he just doesn't make a mistake ever, never makes a mistake. Rain, wet, snow, he wins. Doesn't matter.
And one thing I'm intrigued to find out, though, people love to now speak the fact that he's calm and relaxed and he doesn't get into accidents or crashes or anything anymore. He's never in a position where he's going to crash into someone, because he's on the other side of the fucking track to everybody else.
He literally drives on his own. He's watching the race on the billboards.
This is it. So I want to see what happens when he then has to start fighting for race wins, and he is going up against, you know,
he'll start getting nasty, you know.
Of course he will. You don't lose that. You don't just become, you know, Mr. Cool, Calm and Relaxed just like that, you know. Only because he's winning and winning so easily, of course he's not going to get into any incidents or accidents. It's a ridiculous argument that some people, you know, love to make. But again, we don't know what might happen this weekend. But in terms of predictions, I know we're all probably going to predict the exact same winner, so that's a conversation we don't really need to look at. But
I went for something different on my podcast. I went for a top three that were very different to what you think.
Okay, well we'll let Reese go first. We'll give his predictions for 1, 2, and 3 then.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, obviously I'd be silly to not put Verstappen first. He's just, and like I say, he's just a cheat code. Second and third. I do think the Ferraris are going to have a good showing, because they did for what they were doing in Bahrain, I definitely do think they can do a bit better. So I'll probably go Sainz and his villain arc for second, and I reckon Leclerc third. I reckon it'll be a they'll fall just short, but I reckon they'll get a 2-3, which isn't a terrible result for them.
No, not by any means. I think they would take that 100%, before anything unfolds. Of course,
Definitely.
obviously, Saudi being a street circuit, you can always count on a safety car as well. So we know that that can pull up certain situations. And again, that is a saving grace. Not something that we can count on around Bahrain, but definitely around Saudi, there's always the option for that. So, Matthew, then you tell me your 1, 2, 3.
So on my podcast, I went for, okay, so I'll start with third. So I went for George Russell in P3 based on his performance in Bahrain, and I think he sort their engine out. Then I reckon that he would be in the top three, push of a top four, but top three, top four. I put second Verstappen, and I put first Sergio Perez. Now you're probably thinking, what a plum, what an idiot. Why would you do that? But the reason I did that was because last year in Saudi Arabia, Perez beat him on pure pace, and Perez has a real knack for street circuits, and well, not always, but a lot of the time, Azerbaijan, Saudi Arabia, he out he can he has the capability on street circuits to outperform Max Verstappen. So I reckon Perez is going to win in Jeddah, and it'd probably be wrong, but we'll go for that.
I like that. I like that because you are right. Sergio Perez, he loves the street circuit, and that is where we normally see the best of him, especially up against. Yeah, I don't know. I think.
Ryan, what about yours?
See the wild side of me wants to see carnage and wants to see some freak kind of podium, but unfortunately.
Logan Sargeant.
You that's another universe of thinking. I think
You got more chance in bloody, I don't know, in Kevin Magnussen winning the world championship at Haas.
yeah, I trust me, I'm not that wild. I don't know. I do unfortunately think it will be very boring once again and very straightforward. I think Verstappen will win it because Sergio Perez isn't the best qualifier in my opinion. So I can see him qualifying maybe P4, P3, and whilst he's battling Leclerc and Sainz, probably Verstappen will probably just shoot off into the lead. So I think Verstappen will win it. I think Perez will eventually end up in second, and I think Sainz will get further. I think it will be literally the same as it was in
Fun
Bahrain.
enough, my podcast co-host went for exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping it is a wild podium and we end up seeing, something that none of us have predicted. But yeah, unfortunately, I've gone with the boring 1, 2, 3. But we'll see. And in terms of a surprise package this week, a driver that might either have a fantastic result or an absolute shit show result. Any thoughts on a particular?
Yeah, I'll give you one. I'll give you one. I'll Alex Albon to have a very good race, surprise wild card. And I would go for a shit show race. I'm gonna go for. Oh, Oh, I don't know. I'm gonna go with Daniel Ricciardo having a shit race.
Interesting.
That's just because he struggled to beat Tsunoda on a faster tire in Bahrain, and I don't know. I don't know. I feel like he might have a bit of a poor race. I just have that gut feeling. But I'm going for Alex Albon to get top 10 in Saudi.
It's, I mean, that's that Ricciardo result certainly did not help his chances of getting that Red Bull seat off Perez one day, but.
Exactly.
Oh, in terms of a surprise package, just racking my brain. I think thinking about the cars Good. I think Hülkenberg will have another good race. I think he'll be up there in the Haas.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Whether he can get a top 10 or not is another question, but I think he'll have a good race. And having a shit show of a race, I actually think Russell is gonna have a it's gonna have a poor race. Don't know why.
I would say that is my third place.
I have a feeling. I mean, he's from the exact same neck of the woods from me as well, so I should really
Oh, you're King's Lynn.
support him. But I can never deviate from Lewis anyway. But I think he'll just be his chilled normal self and probably finish P5. But Reese.
You see, I've been thinking, and I've got a sixth sense. For some reason, it's completely out of the blue. I reckon Oscar Piastri will come fourth. He'll sneak past, and he'll come just outside of the podium. But I think, to be honest with you, Oscar Piastri coming fourth would be a incredible result for McLaren, especially as they seemed very just behind the front runners in pace in Bahrain. And then a crap race. As much as I want it to be a George Russell or a Lewis Hamilton, I mean, I don't think there's going to be many surprises in this one.
Yeah,
That's the thing in
didn't
terms of bad races.
like that comment. That doesn't do your chances of a better seat for next season in Euro Trip
Oh, I'm going to be honest,
any
I don't
good.
like either of them. I can't say much.
Oh, don't listen, George. I like George. Don't diss George.
He is so outrageously posh. It's unbelievable. And now
Exactly. It
I
sounds
come
like
from
me.
Surrey, which is like a
I come
prime
from
posh
Surrey.
spot. But man, I can't stand him. I don't know what it is. I can't stand him.
Yeah, I mean,
He probably can't stand you either. Anyhow.
He wouldn't, to be fair. No, he'd hate me.
I don't mind Russell, don't get me wrong. I don't love him, I don't hate him. It's fine. I just don't accept any Lewis Hamilton slide from anyone, any time, any place. And lots of people can.
George Russell's performing better than Hamilton at the moment.
That
Okay.
brings me on to our last quick little topic before we end the podcast as well. Something that I'm going to do every single week in terms of this podcast anyway. So every single episode. And that is end with a controversial opinion from each guest, including myself. And we're not going to go deep into discussion about it. We're just going to say a controversial opinion that we all have, whether it's about a current driver or a current team or track, whatever it might be. I've not prepared this. I've not told these two about this. So they're going to have to rack their brain. Mine, though, off the top of my head, without thinking about it, is I believe Oscar Piastri is a better driver than Lando Norris.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's not controversial, that's just silly.
I don't know if that's true though, but yeah, it's controversial.
It's definitely controversial, that's for sure.
Go on, Reese, you go next.
Oh. I'm gonna say I'm not gonna go driver because I don't want to start any more controversy based on bloody my Mercedes claims. I think it's topical. Jeddah is top three tracks in the entire season. I love this track. I think when it's connected, this track is the most entertaining to watch outside of maybe a Monaco or a. I don't know. I can't think of another one. But I think Jeddah is an incredible track.
Monaco is not entertaining.
Qualifying is the best part.
It's great to watch, especially when you get the camera that pops on the helmet and you just see what's got it.
I mean, from that perspective, okay.
It's cool to look at, basically.
Yes.
All right. Do you want to hear my controversial opinion?
Oh, then Matthew.
I think all the American tracks are complete and utter dog shit. And I think that America, we should come up. We shouldn't even go to American tracks. I think they're all poor, all of them.
Can go
So
along with
yeah,
that.
that's my conclusion.
I mean, I don't mind Texas, Kota.
Yeah, I was
I
gonna
mean,
say.
again, bang average. I think Miami is complete crap, and I think Las Vegas is complete crap. I mean, let's be honest. Like,
Oh yeah.
apart from the cringe hype train that comes out every day, and DJ Khaled make himself look like a plum. You know, what else is there?
I don't know. I think coach isn't crap. Coach is good.
I think the Middle East. Okay. Now hang on. This is actually my controversial opinion. I think the Middle East have a better set of tracks than America.
That's not controversial. Them tracks are great. There's not
a
single
your opinion, but some people would say that America's better.
There's not a single bad one in the Middle East, though. What is there? Qatar, which is a great track for for watching.
Great track, yeah.
Saudi. You've got UAE, which is great.
Yeah.
Saudi's obviously, I love Saudi. And then you've got America, and there's bloody straight 90-degree turns. That's all there is.
Yeah, I would go along with that, because Miami is, I mean, I didn't even watch the Miami Grand Prix last year. I was away, but I'm glad I didn't watch it, because the track was absolutely disgustingly bad.
All right, do you want to hear? I'll give it one more controversial opinion. It's all going to make you want to punch me in the face, but I'm going to say it. All right, you ready?
Probably.
I think George Russell was the current best British driver on the grid.
You are waffling out your mind, man. This is why you're in
there.
The
you
Alpha
go. See, look, I thought you were going to punch me in the face. There we go. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I hark back to what was the race? Was it Singapore, when
Singapore.
He pinned it into the barrier, case closed.
People make mistakes.
It happens. Yeah. I mean, to counter that controversial opinion, I would say, I mean, what? Who we got? We've got obviously Lewis, Lando, George.
And you could say Albon, but I
it
mean,
Albon,
he's 50-50.
But...
Really.
All right, include Alex in that one as well then. Out of them four, I'd actually put George at the bottom of those four. I think I would say Albon is a better driver.
In terms of talent.
No, I don't believe that at all.
I think
we're going to race this season to drag that Mercedes to P3, mate.
Yeah. No.
Okay, Lando screwed up qualifying. He's his last lap. I think Lando's a great driver. Don't be wrong. I don't dislike him, but he screwed up his last lap and he was all the way down in, you know, wherever he was, but he was far off. George Russell put together a picked perfect lap when he needed to. Hamilton in ninth, Lando in like seventh or eighth. Albon's in a Williams, can't really compare him. And Russell P3. I mean, that's the first race of the season. And then to even be, you know, up there for the with an engine problem, I think he's quality. You know, even his first race jumping that Mercedes when Hamilton had COVID, he should have won that race. And I know the car's dominant, but he made Bottas look crap in his first go out. I know Bottas is not as good, I'm getting that as well, but he got in that car, which was a seat that wasn't even fitted to him, and should have won that race, but, you know, obviously fate had other things. You know, Belgium, Spa in the wet in 2021 to get that Williams on P2, unbelievable. One of the best qualifying laps in a crap car you've ever seen. I could go on about things, but anyway, we'll leave that there.
We'll leave this conversation anyway for another podcast in which we an even worse and even more boring Grand Prix, because I'm sure we will have one at some point this season and we can go back to this particular controversial opinion. I mean, it's not even controversial. I think it's disgustingly...
It's just so...
I'll never get invited back on this podcast again.
It's so out of pocket, buddy. I mean,
no.
Disbelief.
I can just say one thing. Hamilton is obviously the best British driver of all time. However, I'm saying the current form is what I'm saying, like, currently.
You're banned from having opinions, bro.
It's dictatorship.
We're gonna end things there anyway for episode one, because if not, we will be here all night and we will continue this argument well into next week. for Eurotrips Formula One, by the way. But yes, I hope you have all stuck around for the entirety of this podcast. And if you haven't, then, well, you know, you can send your complaints and your constructive criticism to any of our Eurotrip social media websites. But thank you all if you have listened at any stage anyway to this episode. And a big thank you to Rhys and to Matthew for giving their time this week. I'm sure they will be back on for many more episodes this season as we look to get a different variety of guests throughout the season. But this has been What Time's the Race. Thank you all for watching and take it easy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.